Thank you, guys. Let me share with you what's going on with Susan. So many of you guys have asked. It's easier to get up here and give you everybody the report. If Susan, when doctors walk into the way to the hospital room, which we were in the hospital again this week for about 3 days, they look at me and start talking to me because they think I'm the patient. It's not that funny. Susan looks so good, they can't imagine that she's the patient. She's been experiencing double vision for the last week, which three guys have already said she has to look at you twice every time she... I think she is getting tired of that. But we went to see an oncologist. We've been looking for the right person up at UCLA. And UCLA is kind of the MD Anderson of the West Coast, I guess you'd call it. Just excellent hospital, excellent doctors and physicians. And I'm sure a lot of hospitals have that, but they certainly do. And so anyway, we had this oncologist. And as soon as Susan told her that she had double vision, within an hour, we were in the emergency room. She says, that's indication of something else going on in your brain. So we were there Monday and Tuesday nights, and all day on Monday, they were doing tests on her and MRIs and scans and blood workups and just checking one to see if there's any new cancer that's causing this. Two, she had fluid on her brain after the surgery, which didn't concern the doctors. It wasn't that much. And I assume it was kind of normal. And so I don't know if it's increased or not. They didn't tell me if it's increased since those early images right after her surgery. But they were checking to see if that was increasing, because that's a big problem if that's the case. And they found that it stabilized, and that's not the problem. Praise the Lord. Amen. They looked for more cancer, and they couldn't find more cancer. Praise the Lord. So the good news is that in all the tests, and Wednesday morning, a neurologist came in, and he says, I've run every test I got. I don't have any more tests to run to try to find out why she has double vision. So we don't know why she has double vision. And they also thought it could be from the gamma knife radiation procedure she had, which wouldn't be too unusual, I guess. And so we're going back, and this has been scheduled since we left Houston, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. We were scheduled to come back for a gamma knife follow-up, which we will on Tuesday, and so we'll meet with doctors on Wednesday and Thursday. And Lord willing, be back Friday. Last time I thought that, I was out there 7 weeks, so... We're trusting we'll get back on Friday, and that maybe they can find out what's going on with her vision. I wanted to talk to you today, and of course, going through this, God is doing so much, and Susan and I we run out of pages for blessings that God has given us, and the blessing that this has been in 100 ways. And more. And you guys are a large part of that. And your love and your prayers and your concern and your giving and your encouragement just keeps coming. And we are just so grateful for that. And, you know, we were in Romans 8 last week. And I want you to turn there if you have your Bible and get your phones out if they're in there. Because, you know, the Word of God is just such an encouraging thing to just read it and to just let the Word of God soak into our hearts. And and when you're going through trials and difficulties like we all are, amen? Amen. We're not the only guys in this room that are suffering in some way, that are going through some trial, that are trusting God and having to learn to trust God and trust him more. And then you think you've trusted him about all you got, and then he says, well, can I get you to trust me with this? And can I get you to trust me now with that? And you know, our big fight is over this song we just sang. I no longer have to fear. I'm not a slave to fear anymore. I'm a man of God. And so that's the fight that you and I are fighting. because the fear and faith just don't go in the same time. You can't have them in the same mind and the same heart at the same time. You're either going to be fearful or you're going to be faithful. You're either going to keep your eyes on the Lord. And we have discovered in new and spiritually scientific ways to be fearful. And times when the enemy comes and just attacks you with fear. The fear of the possibilities. On my prayer calendar this week, one of the quotes was, our problem is that we pray with our eyes on the possibilities instead of our eyes on the Lord. And so that's what brings fear and anxiety. And then he comes along and says, would you just cast all your anxieties on me? I got this. I care for you. And you know, in the journey, we all learn that God knows me. He knows me perfectly. God cares about me more than I'll ever know or dream or understand. Even when we're in our Gethsemanes and even when the cross looms ahead of us, God cares. And God's the kind of God that's in it for his glory. But he's also in it for us. And he always makes his decisions with our best interests in mind. And we always have to keep that in mind. Whatever the next thing is, you know, it was breast cancer, and then it was brain cancer, and then it was lung cancer, and then it was blood clot in the lung, and now it's blurred vision, and whatever the next thing is, God makes it, those decisions, and engineers it all. Now, if we didn't really believe and understand that life is hard, so why not us? Why not this happening to us? Why not us going through this? People go through stuff and much harder, and God keeps reminding us, people going through harder stuff than this. I mean, this is hard. And it's no fun, and you wouldn't choose to do it. But you accept it. And that's a big deal. When God allows suffering, and we're going to have suffering, that's a given, right? We always say that suffering, trials, difficulties, and pain, that's a given in this fallen world. But misery is a choice. You don't have to be miserable. You get to choose your attitude. I get to choose my attitude through this whole thing. Susan gets to choose her attitude. And everybody calls her Sweet Susan. And they didn't get together and say, let's all call her Sweet Susan. That's just what you think of when you think of Susan. And she just has the sweetest attitude. And she just hangs in there and she fights through. And we fight through together. And this has done so much. If nothing else comes out of this, this has done so much for us. As a couple. You know, we've always, I would say we've been married now, sneaking up on 50 here in September. And we're going to get to that finish line one way or the other.
Amen.
And it's not the finish line, I mean, but that's been a goal of ours our whole married life. Yeah, that's exactly right. And this, we've been married 49 years and only 49 have been happy. So, but it's getting happier through this whole thing.
Amen.
There are so many blessings, as I said, that God has given us that we just get overwhelmed. And we were sitting in our hospital room a couple of days ago, and there's a little cubby there with a window, and you're looking out at the Santa Monica Mountains, and we just had a worship time. We just had a praise and a worship time, I bet for an hour, just thanking God for all the blessings and singing praise songs. And this song right here, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. It is just time to do that. You go into battle and you put the band out in front, rejoicing and singing praises. And that's what Jehoshaphat was instructed to do. When you go into this battle, just put the choir out front. Let them get out there singing praises to your God. When Job started praying for his enemies and his friends who were enemies, I think we know what that means and how that goes. That's when God restored him, and that's when God healed. And so there's just these paradoxes, these mysteries in the Christian life, but then in life in general. We got the best doctors in the world scratching their heads. There's a little emoji with a guy scratching his head. That's become my favorite emoji lately. But God knows. And so he just gives us more reason to believe and trust in him. So when we get to Romans 8, and we just got through Romans 7, and we mentioned that last week, In Romans 7, it finishes up with Paul just lamenting his inability to live the Christian life, to keep the rules, to be a good guy, to do it all correctly. And he was just, you know, the things I want to do, I just have a hard time doing. I'm not doing. Things I know I should do, I'm not doing. And things I know I shouldn't do, that's what I like to do. And there's this battle going on inside of me that rages. I got a heart to want to really please God and bless him. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless him by the way I speak, the way I live, my behavior, my responses. I got a heart to want to do that. You do too, amen? You understand that heart. But then we don't always do it, do we? Something happens, somebody cuts in front of us, somebody interrupts us, somebody hurts us, somebody costs us money, somebody doesn't give us a result that we want, we don't get our way or will, or it's not on my timetable. This was not on my calendar to be in this situation. And then the big issue right there is, how do I respond? What do you do? What do you do now? We call ourselves men of God. Amen. Now, our goal in life is to be men of God in a crisis. When the crisis comes and courage is required, God expects his men and women who claim and know his name to have such confidence in him that we will be the reliable ones, the safe ones. It's kind of like when you hear that someone just had a great loss or a great tragedy, or whether it be they lost their job or a child or a spouse or their health in some way. Then you think of that person and you think of who they are. How are they going to do in this crisis? How will they respond? Are they the kind of person that you go, they're going to be fine? Because I know their faith. I've seen it in little ways and big ways. And I know they always land on their feet spiritually. Oh, yes, it's a shock and it'll take you back. I mean, when you hear you got a brain tumor, that takes you back a little bit. When you hear you got a cancer in your lung or blood clot in your lung, or it takes you back. I mean, it's that thing that shocks you to begin with and rocks you a little bit until you're unshakable. Because what God does, and Paul pointed this out, God shakes us. So that which is not shakable and can't shake out remains, but those things that can shake out, then God shakes them out, and he has to shake us to get them out. I wish it wasn't true. I wish you and I could go through things and just lay them down, acknowledge them, admit them, confess them, get rid of them, make the decision. But we have a hard time with that, amen? And so God shakes us to get those things out. There's a much bigger picture going on here. We always remind ourselves of that. It's not about me. It's not about Susan. It's not about us. It's about this bigger picture, this thing that God is doing. Yes, he's doing things in our hearts and lives, but he's doing things in yours too. And when something happens to you, it affects me. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Paul pointed that out too. When one hurts, we all hurt. And so no man is an island. The thing, responses, your character, your attitude affects everybody around you. So if you're going to be down and miserable, everybody's going to just back off. They're going to moonwalk. But if you're trusting God and walking by faith and saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, people are attracted to that. People come rushing in. That's just the way it works, and we all know that. So here in Romans 8, he starts out saying, you know, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. We talked about that at length last week. It's almost the message that needs to be preached every week to hard-headed guys like us. We need to hear over and over and over and over and over and over again. There is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. Paul was condemning himself, and then he shook himself and said, hold it. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He gets on down further in there, and he says, if God is for us, who's against us? He who would not deny his own son, are not for who freely gave his own son, well, how will he not freely give us everything that we need? So when Paul's writing, it's kind of like when you and I journal or anything, we're writing things we need to hear, right? I've always told you guys, I preach things I need to hear. I'm pretty sure you need to hear them too. But I sure need to hear these things. I need to go over them again. I need to be reminded. I need God to shake me a little bit, to remind me. Oh, yeah. We got a center. We got to keep that center. I was just talking to Thaddeus back there. And he says, you know, my chiropractor says, if I can just keep my atlas straight, my body will be healthy. If I can just keep that spine and everything aligned and all this kind of stuff, the body has a way of healing itself. And so that's what we do spiritually as well. We just got to keep that focus. We got to keep that attitude. We got to be reminded of the truth. Life is hard. It's not about me. I'm not in control. Everybody dies. Death is that instantaneous moment when we go straight to be in heaven. Yesterday we were riding up to L.A. and there's this Citadel shopping center. It used to be a rubber company or a tire company or something. Whatever it was. That's beside the point. Whatever it was. It ain't that anymore. And they've got these beautiful, I guess they kept all the old facade and everything from that thing. And when you're driving through, there must be 8 of these horses with wings or something that's sitting up there. And I just got this view of heaven. Just going through heaven, it's like those old Roman Empire movies where they're going through Rome and all these huge, massive buildings and everything. And I just pictured heaven and what it was going to be like to be there. And the older we get, the more we look forward to it. Amen. The more pain we go through, the more suffering, the more losses, the more we look forward to heaven. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, when I was younger, I wasn't praying that at all. I had to raise my children. I had a career to build. I had people to teach and walk, witness to, and retreats to speak at. And I wasn't saying, come in, Lord Jesus. I'm saying it today. Let's look at verses 5 through 17 quickly. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Verse 5. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now, Paul is getting here and he's saying, let's contrast these two things. Let's contrast the saved and the unsaved, the Spirit-filled and the Spirit-absent. Let's contrast, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Let's contrast the old guy, what I used to be, and the new man that I am today. Let's be reminded of that, and let's just see what saved guys have and unsaved guys don't have. What I didn't have before I came to know Jesus, but what I have today. And so if we contrast these things, we see in verses 7 and 8, he said, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh and what the flesh desires. So there's this battle in me of the flesh and the spirit. So we just got through talking about that. So what we want to do is we want to be the reliable ones. We want to be guys that are filled with his spirit. That are having our spiritual eyes open. I can remember when I used to try to read my Bible growing up, and I couldn't get anything out of the Bible. And I've told you guys, they gave us an envelope when I walked into my fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade class every Sunday morning. And it had, one of the things you had to check off was read your Bible this week. They're trying to get us to do some good things. All they did was give me the law and show me I couldn't keep it. Made me more miserable. I know misery was a choice, and I chose misery. And I chose it for a lot of years. Spiritual misery, because I couldn't keep the law. I didn't get anything out of my Bible. I couldn't understand it. It wasn't interesting to me. And
I would draw during those sermons. In those days, we didn't have children's church or anything. You went and sat down and stayed quiet or got pinched. So that's what you learned as a little Southern Baptist boy. I don't remember one sermon except for Joe Bob Turner, who I walked the aisle at 8 years old and got baptized and thought I was saved. I knew I was a good Baptist, but I wasn't saved, and I didn't know it. And that caused a lot of misery because I thought I was saved, but I had no power to live the Christian life. I couldn't stop doing that. I was Romans 7. You know what I'm talking about. So my flesh battles against the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the what the Spirit desires. Now, what does the Spirit desire in my life right now, in Susan's life right now? What is our minds fixed on? Are we fixed on our comfort, our way, our results, our timing? Well, yeah, we do that. But that's battling against what's in us that wants to do what the Spirit desires. What's the Spirit desire in us? He wants us to trust Him by faith. He wants us to believe in the gloomiest, darkest time that He is working behind the scenes. In God's Resurrected, one of my favorite songs from years ago, and now it's my favorite song for now. God will find a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. God will find a way for me. So I like that part. He's working behind the scenes. He's doing things. I have no idea what He's doing. But one day I will know exactly what He's doing. It's just like I see Him, but I don't see Him now. But one day I'll see Him face to face. And now everything will be cleared up. There'll be no more questions. There'll be no more mysteries. There'll be no more paradoxes, which we have to live with today. And I'll see Him face to face and everything will be clear. Hallelujah. But today, everything's not clear. He's doing things that I don't understand. He's doing things that are mysteries and paradoxes. And we're not even punchy about what's around the corner next because God has been so faithful and given us so much grace and mercy in the things that we've been facing that we know if something else comes up, He's going to give us the same grace and mercy. Why would He stop giving us grace and mercy? Why do we not strengthen us? The way all you guys have prayed, and so many have prayed, I'm praying now for your strength. I'm praying that you'll hold up. I'm praying for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And God's answering those prayers. We're being carried along. We're walking on water. Amen. And that's what we've never received or understood that like we do today. But God literally will have us walking on water when our eyes are on Him. And as soon as we get them off of Him, what do? We start sinking, as Peter did. We've experienced all that. The goal is to walk on water more than you sink. And you're not going to sink and drown. He's going to pull you up like He did Peter. He's not going to let us drown in our worst moments. He's still going to hold on to us even if we've let go of Him. Even if we've gotten our eyes off of Him, His eyes are still on us. What a God. We have this amazing God. Are you sharing Him with anybody? Are you telling anybody how great your God is? Are you living in a way that people go, I don't know what you got, but I need it? See, that's the goal in all this. The glory of God. Seeking His will and His glory. And understanding you're on His mission. This is what you're assigned to do right now. This is what you're going through. It's been assigned. He's not biting His fingernails up there going, oh, how's he going to do? How's he going to get out of this one? He knows exactly what's going on. And here's a beautiful thing. In all my worst responses, in all my fear rather than faith, God is still faithful. He won't turn His back on me. He said, I'll never leave or forsake you. Yeah, but what? I'm not going to leave you then. Yeah, but I'm not going to leave you if you do that. I'm holding on to you when you cannot hold on to me. I'm not going to let you go. Now, this is what we learn. Because if we don't learn these things, you know what's waiting on us? Depression, anxiety, medication, pills, aching backs, sore bodies, heart problems. I could go on and on, but that's enough. So See, that's the options we have. You can be a man of fear, or you can be a man of faith. You can trust God even when you can't see Him working, but He's working behind the scenes. You can be a man of the flesh, or you can be a man of the Spirit, and we get to choose which we're going to be. And quite honestly, it's a fight. It's a fight to walk in the Spirit. It's a fight to maintain a good attitude when the Lord allows the enemy to just keep pouring it on. But he keeps reminding you, okay, hold it. Have you forgotten I've given you the helmet of salvation? Have you forgotten you have the belt of truth, not lies? Have you forgotten that I've given you the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness? That's your armor for all this stuff you're going through. Put it on. Use it. Have the breastplate of righteousness. Live holy lives. We would pray more holy if we lived more holy, is another one of my prayer calendar quotes. Live that life. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Get up that shield of faith that fights off all the fiery darts of the enemy, all the lies that he would throw at us. But my God is faithful. My God is present. My God has forgiven me. All this condemnation that comes, and he says, how do you call yourself a man of God and you just go doing that? And you know you're going to do it again tomorrow, and you're going to do it the next day. Why don't you just give this man of God stuff up, make peace reality? You ain't a man of God. One guy, and I've told you about this guy before, remember him? He came up and he didn't have his man of God wristband on. I said, where's your wristband? Yeah, my wife said I didn't deserve to wear it, so I took it off. I said, that mean you're not a man of God anymore? I don't know. That's what the enemy wants us to do. Take our wristbands off. Feel like hypocrites. I mean, make peace with reality. You're a stinking hypocrite. Now, once you made peace with that reality, when you act hypocritical, and the devil comes along and goes, you hypocrite. And I go, yeah, I know, I'm a hypocrite. God's taking care of all that, though. God loves me anyway. I know what you're trying to do here, so get your butt out of here. In Jesus' name. So as we contrast, there's a war and a peace going on. Unsaved guys at war with God. That's all I could do. We're rebellious. We're at war with God. Our heart is rebellious. We want to do our thing. We want our will. We want our glory. We want our timing. We want our comfort. And we can talk all day long about wanting the will of God. And I want His will, not my will, as Jesus prayed. I want His glory, not my comfort. I'm on His mission, not my mission. Oh, yeah? That'll be tested. It'll all be tested. Faith is no good unless it's tested. And we're going to fail some of the tests. Make peace with reality. You're going to fail some of the faith tests, some of the fear tests, the hypocrite tests. Just expect the enemy to come along and condemn you. There's no condemnation, though, if you're in Christ, and that takes faith to believe that. Nobody else is going to let you off the hook, okay? Most people are going to condemn you, criticize you, talk about you. But the Holy Spirit will never do that. He never does that. He never condemns. He never criticizes. Yes, He brings conviction. Yes, He'll come along and go, well, what about that? Let's take care of that. Confess that. Let's get that right. So there's nothing between us. I mean, we work on that with our wives in marriage. We work on it with colleagues and friends and relatives. And that's all the Holy Spirit is doing. He's prompting us to be men of peace. And Jesus says, look, you follow me and keep your eyes on me, and you're going to have a peace that surpasses all comprehension. No one will understand it. No one can explain it. Neither can you explain it. You just know you got it. And when you're so gloomy and when you're hurting and you're so down, the Holy Spirit is still praying for you. Says it right here in Romans 8. He's still praying with groanings that words cannot explain. He knows you're hurt. He knows your pain. He knows what you're going through. And He prays and intercedes for you. He's weak right now. Lord, and you can see Jesus interceding before His Father in heaven on your behalf. Have mercy on him. Give him grace. Be patient with him.
He has a heart to serve. He has a heart. He loves you. And he's struggling. There's always grace. There's always mercy. There's always forgiveness. But we have to ask that forgiveness. We have to go to him and confess our sin. If you'll confess your sin, I'm faithful. I'm righteous. I'll forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What a God. Do you believe all this?
Yes.
See, it'll get you through every crisis. It'll get you through every pain, every difficulty, every failure, every hypocritical moment and move. It'll get you through all that. But you got to, in your heart, you got to weave that into the tapestry of your faith and your DNA spiritually of who you are. Because you will be tested. And failing the test is just part of the process of passing the test, of becoming that guy. So don't beat yourself up so much when you don't pass every test. Don't condemn yourself. And don't worry about others who are condemning you. God says, if God is for us, who can condemn us? What does it matter what they think about me? God's already accepted me. He's already told me. I was out in the woods that day, and he told me, I like the man I made in you. I like hanging out with you. What are you beating yourself up all the time for? I don't make junk. I like the guy you are. Now, can you imagine that? You don't like you. Your wife doesn't like you. Why is he like you? Imagine that. And so we care more about what our wives and other people think than about what my God thinks. Every time you do that, you're just saying, God, I don't care what you think. I want them to love me. I want them to accept me. I want them to approve of me, whether you do or not. I know it's a given. You're going to do that. And so you just accept what God has said is truth. And if someone's criticizing you and they say, well, you did so and so, don't try to defend yourself. Don't say, go on the attack and accuse them. Just say, you know what, brother, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. Amen. Would you forgive me for doing that? Because I want to set a better example than that for you. Thanks for pointing that out. Now, he wasn't ready for that. He wasn't ready for you thanking him for criticizing you and pointing that out. But if you really want to be God's man and you want God's character, that's what we do. God allows, and he taught me the hard way all these things. I don't have time to go into all the stories, but he's taught me that he gives the unsaved permission to rebuke me when I'm unrighteous and when I'm doing sinful things. And so when they do, then I thank them for doing it. Because I want to get that right. If you want to get it right, you're glad when people come and rebuke and correct you. But if you don't want to get it right and you don't want to be God's man, then you resent the fact that they're pointing stuff out where you miss the mark. You get a choice. I get a choice. So we're going to Houston Tuesday to have a follow-up on the Gamma Knife procedure, which is kind of like law and mandatory to go back and do that. But we're glad now. I've been dreading it. I didn't want to go back to Houston. But now I'm looking forward to going because maybe they can figure out why she has double vision. Maybe that's why we're going back there. Because they did all the tests and the MRIs and everything that they're going to do back there. They just did it at UCLA this week. But there's a reason why we're going back there. It may just be that person in the elevator. That hospital is jammed full of cancer patients and their caregivers. I mean, that's all the hospital's about. The first thing you have to get yourself prepared for when you go in there is all the sick people. They're in wheelchairs all up and down waiting for shuttle buses. They're in every hallway. And then you got the medical personnel, which are absolutely wonderful. The most helpful place I've ever been. They've created an environment there, I won't tell you, that is just so up and upbeat and cheerful and helpful. And all those kind of words. So it's an amazing experience. But it's just people that are miserable. People that are just coming through. They've just had their chemo and they're just sick of their dogs and they've lost their hair. And I mean, on one hand, it's a tough place. On the other hand, it's a glorious place. To encourage people, to give them a smile, to pray for them, when you can see they're really suffering or hurting. So I don't know. I'll report when I get back, all the stuff when I get back, with all the stuff that God's doing and what he's going to do there and what he did there, what we found out there. It's just stuff. And one thing that we've learned during this whole thing is just news. Whatever the result is, whatever the report is, it's just news. I learned that from Don and Mike Norse. It's just news. It's not necessarily good news or bad news. And what we think is good news may not be good news. And what we think is bad news could be really good news. And God's just turning it and using it. So that's helped us a lot too, going through this. What we're doing though is we're fighting the good fight. We want to keep the faith and finish this race. Together with you. Amen?
Amen.
Can we stack hands on that? Father, that's what we're doing. We need each other. We need you. We are in this race to win for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we made peace with all these realities. And we're thankful that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We're thankful for your forgiveness, for the salvation that we have, for the belt of truth around our waist so that we don't have to believe the lies. But we know the truth, which brings peace that surpasses all comprehension. And Lord, we have that shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are shod with the shoes of the gospel of peace. And everywhere we go, the people will know that Jesus Christ is real, alive today, and he's here for them. So Lord, in all the ways that we can share that, help us to do that. Help us to bring you glory. Help us to make sure we keep understanding that it's about you, Lord. It's not about us. It's about your gospel. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.